Okay, you're listening to Amud V'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Shabbos, Daf, Lamed, Vav, Amud Aleph. We are going to start on Lamed Hey Amud Beis, really around halfway through the Amud. We just quoted a Braisa about the Sheish Tekios that were blown Erev Shabbos. And then now we're starting another version of that braisa. So Tana de Bei Rabbi Yishmael, the Bei Rabbi Yishmael taught it as follows: Sheish tekios token erev Shabbos. There were six tekios that would blow erev Shabbos. Hiska l'skoa tekiyah rishona nimnu ha'omdim basada mila adrol melechor lachrosh. That the first blow, first tekiyah would be. But the people in the fields would stop their hoeing and their plowing. Umilasos komalach shabasados and all the field work. And here's something I really liked. I like all of it. But vena kroven reshayin lekanes ad sheyivo rechokin veikansu kulam ke'echad. And the people who are far away. Right, you did do this part.
Yeah.
Is familiar? Right. So the people who are far away and the people who are close. Different fields, the people who are in the fields closer to the town, they couldn't come earlier, right when they heard the sound blast. They had to wait basically at the gates of the city and wait for the people from the farther fields so that it wouldn't look like those people were just were disobeying the command because people didn't necessarily know how far away they were. It's just for me, I love the imagery is really really beautiful. Can you imagine like all the workers gathering at the city gates for Shabbos, and then they wait for everybody. Okay, everybody and the entire crew from the field. Who knows how many farmers coming together, walking together to be not Kabbal Shabbos, but to be Mechabed Shabbos. Then earlier, I thought the imagery was really beautiful. V'adayin chanuas psuchos, the trees of Menachem. But still, the stores in the city were open, and the tree scene, right? You know, the tree scene from the thick blinds in Eretz Yisrael, they're super dark. They call them tree scene. You know what I'm referring to?
I haven't really spent much time in Eretz Yisrael.
So I haven't spent a lot of time there in a very long time, but I do remember that the blinds are like it's night in the middle of the day. It feels like night because they're called tree seam. So this is what it is. So they had these tree seam these shades that they would also munach they were thick and they were able to be used as trays as well for their merchandise. So the trees seem munachin.
Actual boards.
Yeah.
Actual boards.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Basically. And hischil iskoa tkiya shnia, when they would blow the second tkiya, nistalko a treesin, they would remove the treesin and vinaluchan echanayos, and they would lock up the windows with the treesin. Avadayin cham in munachin agabe kira, but there was still hot water that was placed on the kira, on the stove, the kaderos munachos agabe kira, and you still had pots of food placed there. Hiskel itzkoa tkiya shlishis, but once you heard the third tkiya, salika masalik, the one who would remove these things from the stove would indeed remove those things. Vahatmin, vahitmin hamatmin, and the insulator, meaning the one who was going to insulate something, would take this opportunity now to insulate because he wouldn't be able to insulate something later on, right? And v'hidlik ha-madlik, and the madlik, the one who's going to light the candles, would do that at this point. V'shoha k'day tzlias dag katan, o k'day lahadvik pas batanur. And at this point, the shofar blower, the tokeah, would wait the amount of time that it took to roast, to cook a small fish, or to hadbik pasva, in order to stick bread in the oven, to stick it. They would put it against the walls of the oven. We did this earlier, maybe daf dalid, around there. Yeah, I think it was daf dalid. We spoke about this pas in the tanur, and that it was like placed up against something, like the redis of pas to take it down. So, so they would like stick it against the wall of the oven. So it was this short amount of time. V'tokeo Maria v'tokeo, and then the last three blasts was a tokeo, a tekiya, true tekiya, v'shoves, and then he would rest, and that would indicate that it's time to rest from your malacha. It's never Shabbos.
I just have to step away for a moment.
Sure. Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Rabbi Chanina said, Shemati, I heard she'im bal hadlik achar shesh tekiyos madlik, that if the six tekiyos passed, if you didn't light it, you should still light it at that point. Why? Shahari nusnu chacham shir lechazan akneses v'holich shofar leveso, because the chachamim, when they decreed the time that you should blow the last tekiyot tekiya, they didn't do it just before Shabbos. It's not at that moment, because they actually gave enough time for the chazan of the Knesset, the shul gabbai. They gave him time to go back to his house and put a shofar in his house. So you really have some buffer time over there, because right, you heard the last blast, but you really have some more time, because there's time for the chazan to go back to his house and drop off the shofar. Amar lo, Rav Rashi just clarifies that Shahaya Gag Miyuchad Begova Ir v'emtsiyasa l'tzkoa, that there was this a special place in the city, in the middle of the city, that he would go to, and there was like a roof that he would go up there, right? Lahavdil, you have a very high place for a bell. So he would go up to some sort of roof or some sort of tower and do it, and he needed time. Umisham alicha lebeiso, he didn't have time to go drop it off by his house.
Makes me wonder why they didn't just have a fixed instrument in the place of a shofar. It's not like the technology didn't exist. And why dafka a shofar? You can use, something made of any material. But okay.
Right. I mean, shofar is one of our two go-tos. We have shofros and chatzotzros.
Right.
They're mentioned in the Torah, and those are usually how we make announcements.
True.
Also on a deeper level. We're coming right out of Rosh Hashanah, but the Rosh Hashanah experience and the Yovel experience are both connected to Shofros, and there's a connection to Shvisa there as well, especially in Yovel, that there's this not just Shvisa Haaretz, but like Shemitah, but beyond. So an aspect of that, of a shofar to get us ready in the right zone for Shabbos, I think makes sense.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is a good question. Like, so then have like a shofar hanging there, which we're going to see. We're going to essentially see in just a moment. So yes. So Amar Lo, I think there's a here's a change also that could be Amar Lo. There was a response to Rabbi Yossi Rechnina. Im Kain, if that's true, Nasata Devarech L'Shiurin. We see this phrase other places in Shasam, and I remember in Maseches Megillah they had it, and it could be a corresponding Gemara in Brachos as well, where you've given over your words to Shiurin, meaning that you've let's say Rashi says it. So Rashi doesn't explain it here. So that means that you've made it too subjective, and then you're going to cause people to stumble, because if everybody has their own shiur. Right, so then it might be it, then we could have a problem here. Rashi explains, "Pamim shebeso karov, pamim shebeso rachok." Well, every town might be different, right? Every town might be different. How it depends how far someone's house, right? So how close does the gabbai, does the chazan live to this roof that he blows the shofar from? So it could be he lives 20 minutes away, could be 5 minutes away. So to say, oh, the chazan gave him time to go back to this house. And so now every community or every shul or every village has a different shear. That's a really complicated thing to suggest, and you're making trouble, Rabbi Yossi Rechnina. So rather, what? Ella makom tsanua yeshlo lechazan akneses barosh gago shesham maniach shofro. He says rather there was a makom tsanua. There's a little place that you could hide it, that the chazan akneses could put on the rosh of the gag. And that's where you would place it, meaning essentially what you said. Like there was a fixed shofar somewhere, and it could be. This also answers your question a little bit more. Maybe why it has to be tsanua? So it could be they were afraid someone might steal it. I don't know. I don't know if everyone had shofros at the time. I'm not sure. But they felt like they could have one in that place. You didn't have to bring it home to your house. They didn't need to incorporate. Time for him to bring it back to his house, because they placed it there, and then you don't get into the shiurim problem. And then the Bryce just explains why. What's the problem? Why can't he just bring it back on his own? Lefisha ein metaltelin loas ha-shofar v'loas ha-chatzotzros, because we are not allowed to be metaltel. We're not allowed to move around a shofar, nor are we allowed to chatzotzros. While we give chatzotzros a shout out, so over here. You're not allowed to move either of these on Shabbos, right? Rashi says, "Afilu birushus Hayachid, even Rishus Hayachid, right? Because they are considered mukta, right? And this is going to be the discussion for a little bit onto the next Amud. A discussion of the mukta status of shofar and of chatzotzros. So we're going to have a contradictory braisa. V'otanya shofar mitaltel, the chatzotzros einam entaltelin. But we have a braisa that says that you're allowed to move a shofar. A shofar is not mukta, and chatzotzros, trumpets, einon metalton. They're not allowed to move them because they are mukta. So we just had a braisa that told us that you're not allowed to move either of them. They're both mukta. Now we have a different braisa that says they are mukta. So how do we resolve this? So Amar Rav Yosi, but there's a gears of change over here at the side, Rav Yosef, and it makes more sense. Because Rav Yosi, the more famous Rav Yosi is a Tana, and Rav Yosi, if we're going to see Abaye, is going to be responding and having a back and forth with him, which is a typical Rav Yosef Abaye, interaction. He was a Talmud of Rav Yosef, and he argued with him a lot. So Amar Rav Yosef, lo kasha kan be yachid kan be tzibur. No, it's not. It's not a contradiction. One brisa is referring to the shofar that belongs to a yachid. The other is a shofar that belongs to the tzibur. So what's the difference? So one second. So v'atanya shofar mitaltel lefi shakafu rosho v'roy l'shov bo mayim v'lisho satinok. So here's the difference. That a shofar is bent over, has like a bent head, and therefore you're able to use it for drawing water, and you could put water in it, and you could give to a baby to drink. So you can like use it as a spout or maybe like a funnel of some sort. And you're able to use it as a kli, which you can't really do with a trumpet, which means that a shofar. Let's explain.
So a shofar is a private shofar, mm-hmm. which the owner may choose to use one of multiple ways. Is a klishim lachtel yisrael zarachufo. You can use it in a non-blowing fashion.
Exactly.
And if it's a tzibor, it's designated miyuchet only for blowing.
Oh, that good.
Much like chatzotzros einam mitaltelin, because it's miyuchet for blowing, and therefore they would not be able to use it in Shabbos because there's no permissible use.
Exactly. So taking a step back, is a shofar its primary use? Or is it considered even on its own? It's basically just a kli that has mutter and usser functions. So I know what we would typically think, because nowadays you wouldn't think to use your shofar as a baby bottle, but yeah, we're going to get into this discussion. So that's the reason, according to the second brisa, why there would be a difference. I neglected to mention that earlier. That's why it would be a difference between the shofar and the trumpets. But the question is that it contradicts the other brisa. The first brisa says both are mukta, while the second one seems to indicate no. A shofar is a kli. Is a kli. It's a kli that's not mukta for whatever reason. Now it could be, you could say kli shemachta leister for a mutter purpose. Okay. But it's a kli, while trumpets can't be used for that. And this is where, so there's a contradiction in the braisa, and this is where Rav Yosef jumps in and says, the chiluk that you made, which is that a shofar that's of the tzibor is a kli shemlachto le'iser, but like it really only has that purpose. It doesn't have a function of also serving as a baby bottle. You can't use it for that because it's designated for this purpose of the tibor. So that's what Rav Yosef says. So kan tibor, and therefore the brisos are really by the same, could be the same time of the same shita, and we're just talking about a different ownership of the shofar. Amar le Abaye. But Abaye challenges, there's two challenges. First of all, Uba Yachid, L'may chazi ho avaroi l'gamei abomayim. He's saying, wait, hold on. What are you saying? What are you saying, Rav Yosef? You're saying that the shofar of a yachid has a mutter use in that you're able l'gamei abomayim, that you're allowed to you can use it as a bottle. You still there?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Okay. That you're
interrupting me.
No problem. So ligma b'mayim, that you're able to use it as a bottle. Okay, right? Is that what you're saying? Because if so, letzibuk latinok betzi. Sorry, ligma latinok betzibur nami chazi ligma latinok ani. But also, even a public chauffeur has a functional use. It could be used to feed a baby, a poor baby. Which you take a look at top Rashi says shalat tzibur lefarnaso, because it's the tzibur's responsibility to provide something for this baby. So if no one else is doing it, so then the tzibur also has the functional use. It could be there's a responsibility that a poor baby walks into the Beis Medrash, and it's the tzibur's responsibility to use their own shofar, their tzibur communal shofar, to take care of this baby. Therefore, in theory, it does have a functional use. It's not like, you know, it's muksamach chisaron kiss that like you would never use like this. This really could have that functional use in theory. It being of the tzibur doesn't change that. So he says that wouldn't be a valid explanation and differentiation between you can't be bechal between a tzibur and a yachid. It doesn't make a difference, and therefore these two brisos are still at odds with each other. Vesu. Hadatanya, and also there's another problem. We have yet a third brisa. Kishem shematal detanya. Kishem shematal tnis shofar kach matal tnis chatzotzeras. Okay, the most makel opinion. Neither the trumpets or the shofros are mukta. Okay, so mani. So this is Rabbi really brings this last brisa to introduce his explanation. So he says mani. So whom is this in accordance with? Who are these tanaim? He's at mani. Who's the author of this brisa? So ela lo kasha. It's not a question. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbi Shimon, ha Rabbi Nechemia. These are the three opinions of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Nechemia. So we've already mentioned the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. We're going to deal with it much later on in the Masechta. We're going to be introduced to Rabbi Nechemia's opinion Kuf Mem Vav. Says the note on the side of the next, right next to Rashi, my Gemara. But Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are their machlokas is in many different areas of muktzah. In general, Rabbi Shimon is more mekel. It's discussed at the beginning of Beitza. It's in Ervin, and we mentioned a few blad ago that Rabbi Shimon is generally more mekel. It's referred to. It's a funny term. It's we say lislay muktzah, that he doesn't have muktzah, which is not true. He does have muktzah. Just he doesn't have as far-reaching ramifications of muktzah as Rabbi Yehuda does, and Rav Nechemia was not mentioned as often, but we'll quote him in a moment. Okay, and actually the Gemara doesn't even explain. Rashi is going to explain these three, so we'll just take a look at the Rashi's. Rabbi Yehuda. So this is Rabbi. This one is Rabbi Yehuda. Which one? So shofar mitalta v'chatzotros einan mitaltlin. So the one that the intermediary one, the one where a shofar is not mukta, and chatzotros are. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nechemia is a particularly strict opinion. We're going to see in a moment. He's very strict when it comes to kli shemalach tola iser. He says that you can only use a kli shemalach tola iser for its primary purpose. So you would not, I guess, not be able to take a hammer and use it to crack open your nuts, perhaps. So that's a very strict view. It's even more strict than Rabbi Yehuda. We'll see him in a moment. So continuing here, Aval Shofar, right, so Enam Taltan de Muktahu. Shofros, Chatzotros are Mukta, Aval Shofar, Torres, Klia Love, Kid Amran La'el. But he says, Shofar has Torah's Kli, which is not necessarily kli shemalach tola iser. I'm not sure if he's saying that. Could be Torah's kli. Could be. There's no difference. But he's saying that it has a functional purpose. The shofar does. The chatzos don't, as we explained earlier. Ha, this brisa, continues Rashi, diktani af shofar ein metaltalin, that even a shofar is not, you can't be, right, both are muktzeh, you can't move with either. Rabbi Yechem, that's Rabbi Yechem, de Amar, he says, afilu tarvod, afilu talis, ein nitlin, el tzorach tashmishal, hamiyuchad. He says that the, this is discussed later on in the Masechta. So I think it was a large spoon, even like a large spoon or a talis, it can only be used l'tzarach tashmisha miyuchad for its specific purpose, nothing else. V'ikar shofar lav l'gma mayim kai. As you were saying, the ikar point of a shofar is certainly not as a bottle. It's as an instrument. So therefore, it would be muktzeh no matter what, not just trumpets, even shofars. Umay shofar. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped. Okay, that makes more sense. I skipped a ha. There's a middle ha. Ha diktani tarvayu metalton. Rabbi Shimon delisle muktzeh. Rabbi Shimon holds that they're not muktzeh. He says that this is not a problem. Now, part of what makes this amud so short is that there's three large tosfosin, not so large, but three tosfosin for each of these opinions. Tosfos doesn't necessarily agree with everything, and he's going to bring in the discussion of tzarech gufo, tzarech mokomo. He's going to interpret these a little bit differently, with important halachic ramifications, but we'll leave it up for now. We're getting back to this understanding. So Abaye says these three brisos are these three different famous opinions when it comes to muktzeh. So we have a question. We're left with a little bit of a problem that maybe we didn't realize before. Umay shofar na michatzotros. So what does it mean, right? This brisa said, right? The first brisa said that the shofar, not only the shofar muksa, but also the chatzotros. What do you mean, like, but also the chatzotros? Of course, the chatzotros, right? Because there's not even a havamina that, you know, like if the shofar is muksa, which in shofar maybe there's a havamina, you maybe it's a kli you can use as a bottle. No one would say that by trumpets. So what does it mean that we say not the shofar and nami chatzotzos, even trumpets, also trumpets, of course trumpets, kavachomer. Why would you have to specify that? So he says, Rabbi asks, umay shofar, like what is shofar that we say even chatzotzos, which is going to be explained by this, you know, next statement. Kidder Rav Chisda, it's in accordance with the teaching of Rav Chisda. Dama Rav Chisda, hani tlas mili ishtani shemayhu, michi charav beis hamikdash. There are three things that the names of them were changed from the Korban HaBayis and on. So we're going to have three different terms that were switched since the Korban HaBayis. One of them is Chatzotzrasa Shofra Chatzotzrasa. It's going to be very confusing. The term trumpets and the term Chatzotzrasa, which right, really means shofar, and the term shofra really means trumpets. So that I know. I'll try to get there in a minute. Yeah. When I looked at this like a few times. Like, what is going on here? Like, and then the question is, where does this apply? Everywhere? Like what? From the Chumash? From the Mishnah? Where does this apply? So we'll try to get there in a moment. So chatzotzos and shofros, the term was switched. Trumpets to mean shofar, and shofar mean trumpets. So lamai nafkamina. What's the nafkamina? Why do we need to know which is which? That you have to tell me this. So one really, there are really a lot of nafkaminos, but one really important one, one we just experienced a little over a week ago, the shofar shel Rosh Hashanah. It's really, really important to know which one is actually which, and not just what's colloquially referred to as whatever, because if you come to blow a trumpet on Rosh Hashanah, so you have a few problems. First of all, there's a muktzeh issue, and more importantly, I guess, it's on Isser D'Oraisa. You're missing the mitzvah D'Oraisa of blowing shofar. And then we're going to have a couple more of these. So what it seems to mean is that from the Churban Bayis and on, the terms I think were colloquially switched, meaning people started to refer to shofros as chatzotrasa and to trumpets as shofra, but I don't think it comes up in like I think that's like just terminology that people used, but it didn't come up in the Gemara so much. I think that for the most part, what definitely what you see in the Chumash is what it's supposed to be, and in, throughout the Gemara, throughout the words of Chazal, to mention the Gemara also, and it looks like it crept through in some brisos. Tosfos is going to quote another one where it seems to where this switch up of Chatzotrosa and Shufra kind of crept up, but it doesn't seem to be that it's a prevalent thing. However, you can once in a while use this to explain a difference. So back to that brisa, our brisa over here, that says the shofar is muksa and even the chatzotros. So really, perhaps what that tana meant was a trumpet's muksa and even a shofar. That's what that meant. But most of the time, throughout Shas, that you see shofar, it means shofar, and chatzotros, it means chatzotros, most of the time. We'll give a shot to why it was possibly switched in a moment. Let's just take a look at the other two. And just to get us ready for what we're experiencing now, Arava Tzavtzafa, Tzavtzafa Arava. So the term Arava is nowadays actually really a Tzavtzafa, and a Tzavtzafa is really an Arava. L'may nafkamina, why do you need to know the difference? Lilulav. Oh, right, did you buy your dalminim yet?
I'm getting it in Rahman.
Okay, it's Hashem. Right, so of course Hashem shows us. I'm not sure if you noticed from last week. I think it was last week's Amud, there was a lot of stuff having to do with, it was in Parshas Hazin, there was some stuff in, I think, Parshas Hazinu, and some things that had to do with the Davni and Yom Kippur, like there were a few connections. I noted only my Chazara. It was very timely. And of course, here's a shout out as we're just a couple of days, a little over a day before Sukkot. So a shout out to the Arava. So it's important to know an Arava and a Tzavtzafa. And also Psora, Psurta, Psurta, Psora. Also a Psora is now called a Psurta and a Psurta is now called a Psora. Rashi says that it is it's the difference between a table, a big table, and a small table. Sorry, a gadol and a katana. Okay, l'may nafkamina. Why do you have to know the difference between what they used to call a big table is now called a small table. Small table is called a big table. Why do you need to know that? It says l'mekach l'memkar for sales purposes, right? If you you order on Amazon a psorta, and you know you get a psora. So just you should be aware that the terminology has changed, and therefore it's not a mekach tos. You should be aware, you know, read the reviews on Amazon and just confirm what a psorta and what a psora is, but it's relevant to halachos regarding that. So I was thinking, I was just wondering, like, what does this have to do, and what does it have to do with the Churban Bayis and these three things? So I was thinking that you know, I noticed that all three of these things have shaychus to the base of Mikdash, And especially things that change from the Churban Bayis. One of them is that used to be shofros and chatzotros together. Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah speaks about this, and after the Churban Bayis, they stopped blowing the shofros, the chatzotros with the shofros. They even hid the chatzotros at that point. But definitely we don't have that anymore. We don't have the chatzotros with the shofros. And also there used to be the ceremony of the Arava over Sukkot, which also changed and Hoshanos also and stopped for a while before it restarted. And Psora is a table. There's the Shulchan, but I wasn't sure exactly what changed. And then I listened to just like a listen doctor this part. I listened to Rav Ari Leibowitz to hear what he said, and he quoted Rav Yaakov Emden who notes exactly. That he has like an explanation for the change that they changed the lashon of shofros to chatzotros and chatzotros to shofros, at least colloquially they changed it to as a zecher le mikdash, as a zecher le shofros le chatzotros le mikdash. So they, meaning like they brought that into their lexicon, at least to some degree, to change that as well. And I think something for the Tzav, he had like a similar pshat to the Tzav, the Rav and the Tzav Tzafa. And Rav Leibowitz quote said that Rav Yaakov Amdin did not explain the psora, but he says that it must be the same thing for this. So he didn't make the shulchan connection that I made. I mean, my connections were just like very loose, like, oh, these three things that are in the base of Mikdash, I didn't have any real development of that. Rav Emden developed the first two, and then I didn't see it inside, but he quoted that he didn't explain the third, but he says, like, you should realize that, these are very intentional. There was an intentional change, but again, it seems that it was only, like, it was mostly a colloquial thing and not something used throughout Shas. And these are Rav Chisda's, but we're going to have a couple more. Amar Baya, Baya said, Af Anu Namar, Hovlila Bekasi Hovlila. We also have a modern one that we always call a Hovlila Bekasi and a Bekasi Hovlila, right? Familiar with this? So these are I guess we'll when we get to Chul and Mir Tzashem, we'll learn more about this. But these are different stomachs of the kosher animals, right? They have like four stomachs. So these are like, I think, the two early ones. I looked up the names and graphics, and you can look it up online after what exactly these parts of the body are. But these two body parts, we kind of changed around the names. L'may nafkamina, well, l'machat shenimtes ba'ove beis akosos, t'mitzad echad kasheira, mishnei tzadim trefa. Well, if you put a needle that's found through the thickness of the beis akosos, which is the beikasi, from one side it's kosher, but from two sides it's going to be trefa. Meaning, you need to know the difference between these things, and you need to know that in modern vernacular we refer to different items because it's a nachfamina lekashrus. I'm Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says we got another one. Af anu nemar bavel bursiv bavel. Right? Also, some people call it, or bavel is now known as bursiv, and bursiv is now known as bavel. Lamai nafkamina. What's nafkamina for this? Legite nushim, for getting for women. So what would you say pshat in that is that the nafkamina of bursif and bavel, the names of these places being changed for gite nushim.
I mean, in terms of invalidating, if it doesn't correctly identify the makom, it could be invalid get.
Right. Right, so that's what Rashi says. You see the last Rashi, the Perek, four lines from the bottom of that Rashi. So Rashi says, "Va'ani omer nafkamina legite nashim." He says, "I le'inyan shina shmo ushma v'shem iro v'ira." You need the right name for him and for her and for his city and for her city, and if it's changed, puzzle. But tzarich lichtov shem al shalachshav. You need to know what it's called right now. So it's nafkamina. But Rashi's first pshat is interesting. He says, "Dekaimelon b'vnei Babel b'kiyin should tzarich lichtov get lishma." But maybe get right. The beginning of Maseches Gittin talks about maybe get the Medina Sayam, and that it says needs to be written lishma. And if it comes from Medina Sayam, they need to say b'fnai nichtam. Right, that the Edom who deliver a get need to say that it was written and signed in front of them. The Gemara there discusses why it has to be nichtav, but basically, at least according to Shitas Rabba, there we need to know that it was written lishma for these people, not just like written and then their names, you know, like for random people's names, they just have those names available. So in order to know that, we can't just have a get, we can't just trust the get. We need people to say, "I saw it written lishma and signed lishma," and then they bring it over. But we don't. But that's from Medina Siam, but it's not from Bavel itself, right? Because in Bavel, right? So we say lift up lishma. Okay, ein sarach lomar b'fnei nichnam ve'ubnei b'shar artzos, but from other places ein b'kin. They're not Bekian, and therefore they need to say that's where you need to say b'fnai nichtav b'fnai nichtam. Vachshav b'nei bursif hi bavel u'bavel shal achshav hi bursif. But now if you confuse these names, you don't know what there's a halachic a ramification from being from bavel or really bursif and not bavel. V'hinami aretz k'nemrin ba'alma abor shav shenatzav meimav. So the first pshat in Rashi is that it makes a difference to the halacha of the unique halacha of maybe get Medina Sayyam, and the exception of Bavel that you don't need to say b'fan nechem nechem was that Bavel is at Bursa, if you really need to know that change. But the second pshat is, as you said, Rashi says v'ani omer, that pshat, the Gitei Nashim, that you just need to have the name accurate, and it wouldn't just be Borsif and Bavel, but if they change the name of, you know, Brooklyn to whatever, if they change the name of a city, then also that would be an important nafkamina. Hajin alach, bame madlikin.
Ah.